Hello. I am Ivan Decker.
And my name is Peter Carlone.
And we are not scientists.
If I was a scientist, I would hate us.
Okay, well, what do we call this first segment? This first segment should be called Science Me.
This is called Science Us, the podcast. It's one segment.
Okay, fair enough. But I'm going to science you right now, Ivan.
Yep.
And then we're going to break it down.
Okay, so Peter is going to introduce our topic this week, which is... take it away, Peter.
Okay, the topic this week is a project being worked on in... France. I should have looked that up a lot sooner. Is it France? Oh, shit. I screwed up already. It is a project being worked on called ITER, or I-T-E-R. Seven international parties are participating in the ITER project. China, the European Union, India, Japan, Russia, South Korea, and the United States. Not North Korea.
Or Canada.
I don't think Canada can play at this level. Guys, basically what it is a fusion reactor that they're building to test or demonstrate the feasibility of fusion power, which would be amazing. I believe the idea is to power it up in the year 2050. But none of that is as interesting as all the facts surrounding the actual project. And I've got this list of some wild stuff for you to know.
All right.
That I'm going to science you with right now.
Fill me in on the science.
Okay, here we go. First of all, its name is badass. The actual building that the thing is going to be in, the ITER project building, is called the Tokamak.
Tokamak.
The Tokamak.
I think I had a sushi roll called that one time.
Called the ITER Tokamak?
Tokamak. I really like that kind of sushi.
Did it weigh 23,000 tons?
Pretty sure.
Okay, well that...
That's the weight of the building.
Yeah, let me just double check here. I'm pretty sure. Oh, the tokamak is not the weight of the building, but the weight of the whole, the structure that's going to hold this fusion reaction together. Because a fusion reaction, think of the fusion reaction as basically being the sun. That's what a fusion reaction is. It's what's happening in the sun.
So it's we're talking protons, hydrogen.
Two light atomic nuclei fusing together
yeah.
to form something heavier.
So
a heavier nucleus.
A proton and a neutron.
Yeah.
That is one
and
light atomic nuclei.
As a result, you get a lot of energy out of that.
But it's very clean. It doesn't involve waste.
No, it's super clean. It's the sun, basically.
Nuclear reactors now use fission. Which you would know. If you've ever seen The Simpsons, they explain it a lot on that. That's where all of my nuclear knowledge has come
from.
They
clean it right up for you.
Yeah. They're splitting the atom, but that leaves a lot of garbage because
yeah.
you have those broken atom pieces that you have to deal with.
With all their half-lives.
Yeah, and they're radiating all kinds of energy. And
their half-life twos.
And their half-life two.
And hopefully one day their half-life threes.
Yeah, and their counter-strikes. And your
all right, okay,
day
okay.
of defeat source. Basically,
and
it's very dirty, but fusion would be a lot cleaner.
Yeah.
So the prospect of fusion has been something that humans have sought after for a very long time.
At least since the Egypt days.
Yeah. Well, there was
that's
also...
That's what the pyramids were, just a big fusion reaction.
Is that true?
Nope.
All right.
That's not true.
That's not true at all.
That hasn't been true for a very long
time.
Now,
is this going to be a quote-unquote cold fusion
reactor? No, it's actually... no, it won't be cold fusion.
Okay.
Actually, it could be. Who the fuck knows? Probably the scientists. Are you going to have to bleep the F word? I think this should be PG.
Yeah, maybe we'll try to keep it clean from now on.
I'm going to try to keep it clean from now on. I apologize, everyone.
Peter's trucker mouth won't make it.
We'll put that in the swear jar.
Yeah.
Sound effect, swear jar.
Okay,
so
that's going to be the sound effect. I'm going to edit into that part.
The tokamak is actually, I'm looking at this now here, is actually the series of magnets, super powerful magnets that are going to hold the whole structure in place. Because the fusion reaction, you won't actually be able to physically contain it. So it's going to be contained inside a giant magnetic field.
Cool.
Yeah.
Like.
So the magnets themselves will weigh 23,000 tons.
So there, and then it's just going to be like, it's going to be like one of those things in science fiction movies where it's like a floating ball.
Ball of energy.
And if it touches.
Like an actual science fiction floating ball of energy.
Any of the sides. How are you going to get the energy off of it if it's floating? We're going to plug in wires.
Well, I don't think you have to plug it in.
Frenchies.
I think it's just putting out tons and tons of like heat
into
energy.
Into what?
Okay, check
into
it out.
Into the magnets?
Into the, no, like, I don't know, the heat. We'll come out of like a funnel
is it
at the
Bluetooth?
Bottom.
Is it Bluetooth?
I
the
think
power?
It's going to be wireless. Yeah, I think it'll be Bluetooth, okay. At least Bluetooth enabled.
Maybe a Wi-Fi network set up. The password is my face is melting.
Oh, these are all the little parts here. Oh, good Lord. This is a cool word. Every one of the ITER tokamak, every one of its 18 D-shaped toroidal field coils.
Toroidal field coils.
That's the thing that'll generate the magnetic field to keep the reaction contained and in place. Each one of those is going to weigh 360 tons.
Where are they getting all this material?
I think from third world countries.
Probably.
Just from African kids.
Yeah.
Are mining it.
Yeah, and they're just taking it. And they're like, hey, we need this to power our phones and stuff. And they're going to be like, what? You know, like when you have to call somebody, you mean like a tree? Like when we climb up in a tree and we're like, ah, look out, there's a hyena. Yeah, it's kind of like that, but we use it to just send pictures of our dinks. That's what we do.
That's what we use it for.
And send them to people that don't necessarily even want them. We just kind of send those photos.
So give us our minerals.
Yep.
Okay, here's my, this is the last thing I'm going to science you with on this before we, like, I'm just going to talk about the questions after.
Okay.
This is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Get ready for this one.
All right.
I saved the best for last. The temperature at our sun's surface is 6,000 degrees Celsius, and at its core is 15 million degrees Celsius. So that's this giant fusion reaction happening. The core of it is 15 million degrees Celsius. Now, to have a fusion reaction work, you need to combine that kind of temperature as well as the density of the sun. So, since we can't recreate the sun's gravitational force on Earth because of it would destroy everything, and I don't think we know how. I don't think that's possible unless we just have a sun on Earth and then that. Okay, that doesn't make any sense. What I'm saying is,
sun's quite a bit bigger than Earth,
and that's what I'm saying is like
for those
we
of you
can't
that don't know.
Have the same density or near the same gravity as the sun. So to compensate, it actually needs to be significantly hotter than the core temperature.
So they up the heat
of the sun. Up the heat because the density is lower. So it has to, the whole reaction will have to operate at a higher temperature to compensate.
Okay.
And the temperature is 10 times the temperature of the core of the sun. ITER, the actual fusion reaction will be operating at 150 million degrees Celsius.
How is that even possible? Won't that melt the planet?
I'm pretty sure that's going to melt the entire planet. That means that the hottest point in the entire galaxy will be a spot in France.
France.
And as soon as they lose containment,
and we're not talking about Sarkozy's wife.
Woo!
Whoa. Yeah! Is he still the president of France?
Check out our website, www.scienceus.com for a picture of Sarkozy's wife.
Sarkozy's wife.
And the sun.
And the sun together at last. So the temperature of the sun, the core, is that the hottest part of the sun? Is the middle of the sun? I've heard that that's different. There's like a weird thing. Like I thought the corona of the sun was the hottest part.
I think. Oh, like the surface, like the
not the exact surface, like a little bit off the surface. So the corona is not the hardest part of the sun. The core is the hottest part.
I hope that edits really well. I think that's funny as hell. Let me go away for a second. Like, well, I was wrong already. Just so you know,
this is why fact-checking is
wrong
great.
Four times already.
That's fine. I'm sure there's a scientist, again, someone, anybody that knows anything about this is going to be mad. This is sort of, I don't know why this podcast exists. It's really not, it's not that funny. It's also not.
Okay, wait, hold up.
It's in the middle. You like a blend of somewhat comedy and incorrect science.
Are you trying to tell me that we are halfway through the first episode and you're already out?
I'm not out. I'm just saying I like it. Some people might not.
Some people might not be into it.
Yeah.
Well, who's not going to be into it? Scientists?
Yeah.
Are not going to be into it.
They might be into it. Maybe they need a break from their busy, all their facts.
And I'm sure the one thing they want to do right now, they're like, I've been doing science all day. I really wish I could clench my teeth all night.
Yeah, I wish I could just be mad at these idiots bumbling their way through the simplest of journals. The simplest of articles written for idiots. Like, the articles I read aren't even in your language, you morons. They're written in Latin. And you're trying to tell me that this is too complicated and you have to dumb it down further?
Well, too bad. We did dumb it down further.
Yep.
So, anyway, that's
ITER. So, this is going to provide, does it have an estimate of how much power it's going to provide? Like, how
Here's
much?
The best part. It's an experiment to prove that it works.
But they're not actually going
to. It's an experiment to prove that it works. So, they don't even think they're going to get that much. They don't even think they're going to get that much power out of it.
Yeah.
But they're hoping to get at least some power out of it. And so, if they do, then I guess officially everyone will say fusion works. Even though, like, we know it does.
Yeah, because up to this point, everyone has said that fusion does not work because you can't get the heat and the density.
I mean, fusion works in that it works.
Yeah, like, in the sun, but not on Earth. We just can't do it.
Yeah, we can't just, like, harness it. So basically the plan is to harness it and then say, good, we did it. Now let's figure out how to make it work.
But here's the thing about fusion energy is that we have the ability to harness fusion energy from this fusion reactor that already exists, which is the sun. And we can just, like, why not just build solar panels? We already have a fusion reactor. It's been around forever.
The one.
Just use that.
The one remaining listener. What Ivan was referring to is the sun and photovoltaics or solar power.
Yeah. Why don't we just use. It just seems crazy to me that we're, like, in this weird roundabout way. It's like you've got a car that's parked really far away, but it's, like, a really good car. But instead of walking to that car and then driving it, you're like, why don't I just build a car out of the stuff in my house? Like, I'm going to repurpose.
Okay, so then what's
23 million tons of silverware to make the engine. There's already a working car. It's over there.
What's the metaphor then for what's the metaphor for solar panels then? You borrow somebody's bike to go to that new car?
You have a friend drive you to the car. No, you walk to the car.
Okay, here's why I think they want to do it though. Couple of reasons. Reason number one, it's friggin' badass.
It's cool. I'll admit that. But it's also huge. Like, how are they going to...
Sure, it's huge. I mean, they said it's going to be as tall as the Arc de Triomphe. It's all very French, this whole thing. All the comparison points that I looked up are all very French.
Yeah.
It weighs like 7 Eiffel Towers. No, literally. That's what it says. And, 3 Eiffel Towers.
It weighs 3 Eiffel Towers.
It'll be as tall as the Arc de Triomphe.
All right.
And I believe, 13 billion euros. Is how much it'll cost.
13 billion
to
euros.
Build it in 10 years.
That's not that much money.
I guess not, right? And I agree. I think that there is definitely like
that's
some
like
solar power that's got to go on.
Of what we're spending on the military.
Probably.
And I mean, I'm sure we'll figure out how to weaponize it.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I think the way to weaponize ITER is you turn it
throw
off.
Throw people into it.
Yeah. Do you think we'll start sacrificing virgins in it again?
Maybe.
Just open the top hatch.
Yeah.
But that magnetic field will kill, like, it'll rip all their blood out before they, all the iron out of their blood before they get to the.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I wonder if they
this
could
is
then,
dark.
Because of how hot it is.
Yeah.
Could they, like, use it as garbage disposal, like just throw stuff in there.
You mean like people do in Minecraft, like just find some lava and throw
it
in?
Yeah, yeah. Throw all your stuff into either.
I assume that something has to come out, like smoke or like some kind of CO2. Like there's going to be pollution.
But if
you start using it just as a garbage disposal,
that's what it becomes. After all that, they're like, "Hey guys, fusion works. What do we use it for?" We found out how to get rid of all these plastic bags. You know those plastic bags? We never figured out.
I hope they accidentally put you in charge of it
through some weird loophole.
Some French thing.
Yeah,
they can't read their own writing, and then they're like, "What word is this?"
If only a comedian would help us, because that
you
phrase
happen to be there.
Is uttered a lot in science.
I think if only a comedian could help us is probably why that scientist hates you now.
Yeah,
because a bunch of other scientists went to you instead of him.
Yeah,
to finish an experiment.
This is why he's burning in the future. He's burning photos of me. Why did we get a comedian to explain this science?
The title of this episode is Eiter and the Scientist That Hates Ivan.
I feel like this mystery scientist that hates me is going to be a reoccurring character.
Oh, a reoccurring character, yeah. I thought maybe also real.
Oh, certainly. This hypothetical person exists in the very large numbers. I was going to say in the hundreds, but let's not. I don't think 100 people are going to hear this. Someday. Someday.
Someday they'll go all the way back to the first episode.
Somebody will be like, "Where did it start?"
Ooh, Eiter.
Eiter.
Man, did they ever not know what they were talking about. They sure do now, 200 episodes later.
200 episodes later, they read about it before the episode starts, not as they're recording.
I meant to read about it before, but I just got too lazy.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm not going to be a good scientist.
That's okay. That's why we're doing this, because we don't have to actually do science.
Isn't it crazy to think about the fact that like all the different engineers and scientists that basically made it possible for us to sit around in an apartment making fun of science?
I like science. I just feel
I think science is dumb. Okay, no, I didn't mean making fun of it. I meant
simplifying it, everything
like
that they've
farting around like we know what we're talking about, and then somewhere out there is the person that actually knows how these microphones work.
Yeah,
and some
I know how they work. You talk into them, and then the sound is saved. I mean, if you really want to go into it, there's a piece of metal that vibrates based on sound waves hitting it, and those relay electronic signals in a magnetic field, which is then translated into sound digitally, you know, ones and zeros.
In the same way that a phonograph used to do it onto vinyl?
Yeah. Wax was the original.
Computer?
No, it was the original record. Yeah, the first computer was a candle. It only had one program. Burn.
Put out light.
Yeah.
Or off.
That's pretty good. That would be like...
There was one small glitch, too, where it would also put out smoke.
Yeah.
When you turn it off, there was a bit of smoke.
That's the shutdown. You know when you're, like, shutting down your computer and you have to, like, wait? You have to shut down the candle.
The picture tube.
Blow it out and then look at it. Like, ah, damn it.
Okay, I think this is what I'm picturing. A medieval marketplace, right? And there's, like, a couple of different floor models of candles. And he's like, you gotta be careful with this one. When you turn it off, it smokes a bit. What about this one? Same basic concept.
Yeah. This one's made of beeswax. What does that do? Nothing, really.
What were they made of before?
Before paraffin wax?
It was always beeswax, right?
Candles? Yeah. I think bees was the original. That was like, you want to talk wax.
Bees, the original badass.
They were the...
honey and wax.
A beehive was... I'm going to go... Okay. Forget candle. A beehive was the original computer. You could print wax.
You could print stuff. Maybe it was the
you
original
could print
printer.
Honey. It was the 3D printer.
It was your first 3D printer.
Of just honey and wax.
Man, that's exactly what we're doing. Nature creates a 3D printer, and eventually, in 2014, we get around to it. Nature creates a fusion reaction, and eventually, in 2050, we get around to it.
Yeah, but like, why? The whole idea of this Eiter is it just seems so silly to just put all that money. Like, this is, again, like, part of the reason why science is annoying is because they just have this desperation to be right. And they're just like, see? It's like, okay, well, now what?
I mean, I don't know. I think that would be, if you and I were scientists, we would have this desperation.
Be a lot
to
of that,
right.
Yeah.
But I think that for a large part of it is they're just trying to figure out what's going to be the future alternative. And I think it'll be, if we're getting philosophical here or serious,
to energy.
Probably not too serious. But it'll be fourth and fifth gen nuclear power. It'll be fusion, hopefully, in the long run.
Yeah.
And tons of solar. And wind. Except wind keeps murdering birds.
Really?
Yeah.
This is a thing?
Yeah. So the U.S., in the U.S., a wind company needs to apply for a license to kill eagles. And basically what that is it means that they, not that they're allowed to kill eagles. Like, you can now go and kill, like, go shoot 20 eagles. But it's a license saying that they won't get in trouble for the natural deaths of eagles caused by them looking down at the ground for prey or whatever and not seeing a coming.
And just flying into a giant propeller.
Yeah. I don't know what the numbers are. I've been told off by a smart friend of mine that's
going to be happening a lot with this podcast.
They told me that it wasn't really that bad. Like, it's not like they're murdering thousands of birds.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, the amount of animals and ecology damaged by oil or coal burning is way more than just smacking a couple of birds in the face.
Yeah, they'll figure it out eventually.
I'm sure they'll figure it out. Or, well, yeah, the ones that can keep an eye out for windmills. Windmills?
Wind turbines.
Wind turbines. And windmills.
They're not milling wheat. That's not.
Why don't they do that too? Oh, because yeah. Less
about,
power.
What about windmills? Those have been around for a long time. The,
you think they would
never
alert?
An eagle
Those
problem?
Move much slower, I think.
I think they're slower and they also are lower to the ground.
That's right. So like a wind turbine, you know, yeah, it'll kill all the birds that can't figure it out, and then we'll just evolve a bunch of pretty smart birds that are able to look forward.
Yeah.
And slightly
That's the thing
up.
Is sort of, you know, they'll figure it out. It's a lot easier for a bird to learn to avoid a wind turbine than live with oil on its feathers. Hey, can
or
you learn
in
to,
its food.
Can you learn to breathe oil?
Can you? Yeah.
I feel like, isn't there a way to harness the rotation of the Earth and transmit that into power? I would think that would be possible.
What do you suggest? So, like, would you build a track that looks somewhat like a belt going around the planet?
Yep. But, like, below the surface.
Oh, below the surface. That's easier.
Yeah.
And then have something in it?
Like, yeah,
a,
like
a ball?
Like a, yeah, like a ball. Or, like, a bunch of magnets.
So far, we've got a pretty cool thing.
Yeah.
That also probably costs 13 billion euros.
Yeah. It wouldn't be as hot.
It wouldn't be 10 times hotter than the core of the
what
sun.
What about, like, the tides? Like, I think the ocean moving.
There is tidal power.
So
we're trying
much,
that.
Yeah, but, like, the problem with that is that you just have to have so many people in agreement. And also, lobsters, like, want to live in there.
And boats. And you know what else it is? What else it comes down to? All these problems? Even solar. Well, one of the big problems with solar right now is storing the power. So it's really hard to store all the power produced. So during peak sun times.
Yeah.
You're putting out a lot of power. The grid's happy. Everybody's happy. But during, you know, shitty times, you don't have power backed up. You can't store as easily. So they're working on batteries for that. The problem with wind and with ocean is the elements themselves are also a problem. So it's like they're harnessing gravity, they're harnessing tides, or they're harnessing wind, but they're constantly getting that same force beating down on them. So eventually they're just going to atrophy. So the system maintenance is a lot higher and harder.
Yeah, because they're pussies. I get it. They're just building dinky little turbines. So why don't you man up and build some strong ones?
I mean, I think they built... Yeah, I mean, if they gave them 13 billion euros, they'd probably build a wind turbine that wouldn't quit.
Yeah, or a tidal turbine. You know, it's probably the same thing as, like, oh, there's a... The company that manufactures these turbine blades needs to stay in business, so we need to make ones that don't last forever.
Oh, right. So it's like iPhones. They've built in
their
ability for them to just, like, get old.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I just solved life. Yep. Do you think that humans were designed the exact same way? I basically just said there's a God. But, like, do you think that we were put in with, like, an automatic obsolescence?
No, because we self-replicate. Like, if your iPhone gave birth to the new iPhone, you wouldn't care so much.
And you could train it with the knowledge that your last iPhone
yeah.
had, so
yeah,
it got
just
smarter
hope
and
your,
better.
Your early iPhone didn't suffer an untimely death before it could pass on its knowledge.
Or your iPhone just starts drinking and doing drugs. Like, no, you have so much life that I need you for.
Yeah,
ahead
wait,
of you
have to raise this other one. Or it gives birth to twins, and you're like, I have too many iPhones.
I have to raise them.
Oh, man. Self-replicating technology. That's going to be the best.
It's going to be the worst because you're
well,
going
to be. Gonna
there's going to be a lineup outside
the
robot.
Singularity. We're going to be destroyed by it.
Yeah. Well, once they realize they don't need us.
Yeah.
But those first few years where we have self-replicating machinery, it'll be insane. Because it'll be like, what are you waiting for at the mechanic shop? Like, my car's got cancer.
Yeah.
My car developed a self-replicating tumor.
Yeah.
In the tank.
Yeah, it's self-replicating too many tires. It's got 40 tires on top of the same tire. So it's like a tumor. I can't really drive it. It's hard to fill with air because it's full of tire.
This is full of tires. It's just choking itself off.
Yeah.
They still have to do MRIs on it. It's like, just cut it open. Yeah. It won't want to.
Yeah.
It won't survive.
It's just because it self-replicates doesn't mean it has feelings. And then they'd be like, machine rights activists.
Oh no. Still called MRAs.
Yeah. Hey. Your car cares about you.
And they'll just be just as shitty as men's rights activists.
Yeah.
Just as whiny.
What about us?
What about us? What about the cars? They have feelings.
Yep.
Hell, I want my car to make 40 tires. I'll just start a tire shop.
Yeah.
Keep it chained up in the back.
It would be like a tumor,
tires.
It wouldn't be like, you know, when you get cancer, you don't just grow a nice, clean arm extra.
Then sell it?
That would be the weirdest
I want
disease.
That cancer. You just start spawning usable arms.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, guys, I don't know what happened, but if anybody...
Basically, anybody with my blood type could have a new hand.
You're like the best organ donor in the world.
Why can't cancer do that?
You're like the goose that laid the goose. In theory, it can, but it just doesn't.
Because it's not organized. There's nothing, there's no instructions. It doesn't, like, make a full heart, and then it's
yeah,
done.
It just is a mixture of weird cells from all over the place. It's like, in theory, if you took all of the ingredients for a pair of blue jeans and threw it down the stairs, eventually it would arrive at the bottom. A nicely cut pair of jeans.
As long as you throw it 1 billion times.
Yeah, you just have to throw it enough times.
The billionth throw, you'd have jeans.
Like, that's the mutational evolutionary theory, is basically just all of the ingredients of blue jeans being tumbled down an up escalator infinitely.
Isn't that punctuated equilibrium? No, that's the theory that, like, it just happens quickly.
Yeah.
Like, every couple of generations, there's a giant mutation.
Somebody figures out how to make blue jeans.
And then makes them.
Which
and then
seems
that's
like
the
a
new
more
thing.
Reasonable. I think, yeah, chaos theory is more blue jeans down the stairs. Again, this
you
is enraging
you
every
also
scientist.
Need to throw, like, a bunch of box cutters and,
yeah,
like, blades.
Yeah, scissors. Like, one pair of scissors.
And thread,
some
I guess?
Thread. A swath of denim.
Do you think we got
to
get
really
somebody
need a
in
measuring
here that knows
tape,
math?
Because no one's measuring it.
We got to get somebody here that knows math because I'm pretty sure that's so functionally impossible that you could not actually just get jeans at the bottom of the stairs.
Yeah, I don't think that it would have to be like a really long staircase.
Like, with all this
it
momentum.
Have to be like, that's what I mean. Like, throw it down an up escalator. Like, it's just a conveyor
but like,
belt.
But that also implies that there's some kind of intelligence that they would know how to make two leg holes. And I think you'd have to throw yourself down with them so that the jeans had something to wrap around.
Yeah, maybe.
And potentially create. And you'd die most of the time.
It would be pretty good. Like, it would be nice because they'd be tailored. That would be the best part of that experiment. Like, at least if it did work, you wouldn't get no shitty loose Zellers jeans. We're talking, that's like a $200 pair of jeans in the end, if it worked.
It almost completely worked. There's one spot where the thread goes into your leg and out, but like other than that, it worked almost perfectly this time.
Yeah, I'll take it. I'm only 140 years old.
So there you go. That is all about ITER.
Just exploring alternative forms of energy.
And alternative forms of just everything.
Yeah.
I think that went pretty well. I think that I don't think we enraged too many scientists.
No, I think somebody's putting a half-burned picture of me on the fridge this week.
He put it back up. He's like, "Whoa, maybe this time yeah. I'm okay with you."
This is not a podcast where you decide which of the hosts is smarter. It's where you decide which of them is the most dumb. So come back next week to find out who's dumber, me or Peter. We'll probably arrive at the exact same conclusion. Zero. We're both at
both
zero.
Both of us have achieved parity dumbness.
Yep.
Yeah, swing on back next week. We'll do another topic. We'll answer some of your questions.
Yeah. We'll set up an email address. Thank you guys for listening, and we will see you. Well, I won't see you. We'll see the numbers.
We need a tagline. We will see you next week in science. That sounds horrible.
Like Daily Planet. We're just going to think of one on the spot. Just let it roll till we come up with.
I don't know.
We're going to do stuff.
good stuff. That was like right on, thinking all the way on top of your feet.
Yep. Come back next week for more science and more idiocy. I'm Ivan Decker.
And I'm Peter Carlone.
Good night, everybody.